Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 19, and this is the seventh part of Language Arts. I want to finish by speaking about conjunctions in a very general way, and then we'll look at one kind of conjunction in particular. So, generally, there are three kinds of conjunctions. We could say there are three forms of joinery, of holding the separate segments of a sentence together. It's interesting how this threefoldness arises again and again in the world of grammar. So we have coordinating conjunctions, subordinating conjunctions, and correlative conjunctions. And sometimes they can be used in a whole lot of creative ways, but let's just look at some of the rules that follow them. Now, I'm going to speak only about coordinating conjunctions in regard to the seventh grader. Of course, subordinating conjunctions and correlative conjunctions will come up in their writing and in their speech, and you'll want to address them. But in terms of really studying one aspect or another aspect of grammar in a more formal, conscious way, I would say that working with coordinating conjunctions is plenty for grade 7, and grade 8 will give you time to work with the subordinating and correlative conjunctions. So these are common and quite versatile words, these coordinating conjunctions. They're very much there at the primal stages of learning the language. And, but, yet, so, nor, which isn't used very much anymore, or, and for. And in this case, for means because. I was late to work, for there was a lot of traffic. So, let's look at some of the rules that we want to bring to the students about coordinating conjunctions, rules which I assure you are honored much more in the breach than in the keeping. So coordinating conjunctions can join anything. They can join just words, they can join phrases, they can join clauses. And whatever they join, the result tends to be something like a list. Items in a series. And when you write items in this way that are in a series, you want to make sure that they match each other in terms of form. If you think, let's say, of a bulleted list, you know, you're not going to have a diamond-shaped bullet followed by, in the same indentation, followed by a number, followed by a star. You're going to try to keep those bullets consistent to show that everything is on the same line, everything is of equal importance. And that's what coordinating conjunctions are about. They, again, they're the relationship words that are bringing a kind of equality, an egalitarian quality to whatever we are speaking about. So, here are some errors that we find very, very common and very much, I would say, taking over our language. I like bananas because they are delicious, nutritious, and they help me fall asleep. I'll just give you some examples of mistakes and then we'll go back over them. So I'll say that one again. I like bananas because they are delicious, nutritious, and they help me fall asleep. What's wrong with that sentence? Here's another one. You can buy bananas at the supermarket, the farmer's market, or from roadside vendors. That sounds okay, but let's see what the matter is there. Third one. Bananas taste good. They are good for you, but won't help you stay awake. Now, honestly, in common parlance, you could say any of that and nobody's going to be too distressed. And the students will say that. That's how people talk. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, if you read those three sentences to your students, very unlikely that a single one of them, of the seventh graders, would notice anything wrong. So just because these conjunctions, the coordinating conjunctions, are so common, the mistakes that are made with them are so common as well. Let's go over those sentences again. I like bananas because they are delicious, nutritious, and they help me fall asleep. Let me give you the punctuation as well. I like bananas because they are delicious, comma, nutritious, comma, and they help me fall asleep. So the coordinating conjunction is, of course, and. This is the proper way to say this. I like bananas because they are delicious, nutritious, and conducive to sleep. Why do we have that? Why do we say conducive to sleep? Or soporific, we could say as well. Because we have started our list with two adjectives. Delicious, nutritious. We can't go on to have a phrase that has a verb in it, and they help me fall asleep. We have to continue the list of adjectives. Start with adjectives, and you have to keep going. Here again, there's this time quality. However, now it's not something flowing from the future, as with as, but rather it's what you start to build. You put one foot in front of the other, and you've given yourself a direction, a trajectory, and you have to follow it. Here's the second mistake and its antidote. You can buy bananas at the supermarket, the farmer's market, or from roadside vendors. What's correct? You can buy bananas at the supermarket, at the farmer's market, or from roadside vendors. What's the difference there? At the supermarket was the first in the list. That means if we've begun with a prepositional phrase, we have to keep going that way. We can't say at the supermarket, comma, the farmer's market, comma, or from roadside vendors. The last phrase is correct, so is the first. They both have prepositions. But we must say you can buy bananas at the supermarket, comma, at the farmer's market, comma, or from roadside vendors. So you start with a prepositional phrase, that's your list. All of the others must go that way as well. One more. Bananas taste good, they are good for you, but won't help you stay awake. I hope you can now sense what the solution would be. Bananas taste good, they are good for you, but they won't help you stay awake. It's not just won't help you stay awake. You started with they. You began that in your list. They as the pronoun for bananas. So bananas, you start with the subject. They are good for you. The pronoun becomes the subject. So they won't help you stay awake. So these are subtle, and nowadays we tend to have a tin ear. We don't always have this sense for what is called grammatically parallel structure, that a list should have consistency and there should be this nice quality of parallelism about it. And here again, this is interesting that the coordinating conjunctions, they bring us a bit into the world of perspective too. In perspective, we will see how we work with parallel lines and what parallelism means there. And it's good if you can make here and there references from one subject to another. The Renaissance was the age in which people began to awaken to the significance of things that were parallel to one another. And this interplay of perspective and parallel, this comes out in work with coordinating conjunctions. So it doesn't matter how many items are involved or what part of speech they are. It doesn't matter whether the items are marching across the page or down the page. What matters is that they are parallel. They're all the same kind of word, the same kind of phrase, the same kind of clause. And once you understand this rule, it's a little bit like refining your sense of hearing in relationship to playing a stringed instrument, let's say. That you're getting this sense of discernment concerning this. And it's interesting that Roberto, in his one of his physics classes, will be pointing to this kind of hearing as we explore the subject of resonance. Now, another issue that crops up in relationship to coordinating conjunctions is punctuation. And here, the rules are quite extensive, and again, the violations of these rules are no less extensive. So let's just look at some of the basic forms of usage of this. If you are only listing two things, if the coordinating conjunction is only connecting two items, you don't punctuate. So, after eating several bananas, comma, I feel happy and drowsy. So there's a comma before the phrase, but I feel happy and drowsy needs no comma. Bananas are good at home or at the office. No comma before or after the word or. If you're working, comma, you may want to avoid a fruit that tastes good but puts you to sleep. But is the coordinating conjunction, no comma before, no comma after. Now we get into threefolding, and of course things get much more complicated. If you have three or more items that your conjunction or conjunctions are connecting, you place a comma after each item in the series. Even the item before the conjunction. And this is a big one because it's often ignored. After eating several bananas, I feel happy, comma, drowsy, comma, and full. There's a comma before the coordinating conjunction and. I feel happy, comma, drowsy, comma, and full. Bananas are good at home, comma, at the office, comma, or at the beach. So there's a comma after the word or, office before the word or. Bananas are good at home, comma, at the office, comma, or at the beach. If you're working, you may want to avoid a fruit that tastes good, comma, fills you up, comma, but puts you to sleep. A comma before the coordinating conjunction, but. So this is very, very important, that last comma. I've been told by many people, no, that's changing, and this or that manual of style says you don't have to do it. To the best of my knowledge, that is still proper usage. And once again, I think it's almost better sometimes to err on perhaps using a rule that's fading away. It just asks the students to be a little bit more aware and awake. Have I put commas where they belong? Do I need that extra comma? Nothing wrong with that. I think that can be really, can be tonic to a student. So we'll go on one more short lecture to finish coordinating conjunctions, and then we'll be looking at wish, wonder, and surprise.